Welcome to the Schmutz On podcast, where we dish the dirt and we don't bother to clean it up. Episode 6 of the Schmutzcast is with Erendira Ibarra, one of the stars of the immensely popular telenovela Las Aparicio. Erin, as the actress so graciously allowed me to call her, betrays Mariana, I would say the less confused half of the controversial same-sex pairing of Julia and Mariana. Please join us as we talk female empowerment, fan appreciation through subtitles, and a few personal perspectives. So sit back and enjoy the Las Aparicio revolution. Or is it evolution?
Mary, right?
Yes, it is Mary. And can you give me I want to make sure I'm getting your first name correct. Can you give me the correct pronunciation for your first name?
Yeah, my first name is Erendira, which is a bit tough.
But you
can call me Erin. Don't worry about it.
Oh, thank you very much. I know you have pity on this poor American that is not bilingual,
unfortunately. No, don't worry. I grew up in California, and in elementary school and junior high and high school, it's always been, like, terrible because they'd read all the names, and then they'd get down to my name and be like, oh, wow, this name is so nice, but I don't want to butcher it. And I always knew it was mine. I was like, Erin, for the rest of the year, it's Erin.
Thank you. For our rest of our time, it's Erin. Okay.
Exactly.
Thank you so much. And I get that sometimes. I grew up in the southern United States, so I have a bit of a southern accent, and people say quite a bit of a southern accent. So, So, you know, no matter what I do, I can't get rid of that thing. People say, are you bilingual? And I go, yeah, I speak southern United States. So, anyway, you know, thank you so much, Erin, for taking the time to sit down with me today. I love the show, and I would like to see it, you know, have a grow in its audience. So anything that I can do to help you do that, then I want to take that part. And one of my international readers turned me on to the telenovela. I had not seen it before. And honestly, I got hooked right away.
Oh, cool.
For a little background for some of the listeners who haven't seen it yet. It's a Mexican telenovela about the Aparicio family, of who I love, very strong, opinionated women, each a modern-day warrior, each widowed under tragic circumstances. But, you know, they refer to it sometimes as a curse, but I have to tell you, from someone who enjoys the scenery of beautiful women, it is not a misfortune.
So, at all.
At all. So, Erin, how did you get involved with the show? Was there a general casting call?
Well, actually, what happens is that my father is the producer of the show, and I grew up in this business. I pretty much grew up on set from the very beginning of his telenovelas and his different shows. And, of course, it was just a natural thing to become a part of, you know, to become an actress to begin with. It was like, it would have been weird for me to be like an architect or a mathematician or something weird like that. So I grew up in this business. I grew up close to it. And I knew this show, the idea of the show came along about 5 or 6 years ago. And we actually did the pilot for it, but it was very different. It was just, we knew that it had to be a show of empowerment and of, you know, for women and about strong warriors. And we knew where we wanted to go with it, but we didn't have the possibilities to do it. And also being, Argos being an independent production company in Mexico, it's been very difficult because of the monopoly that there is over the television channels and television stations here.
Right.
So we didn't know where to go with it, and we kind of left it in the back burner. And then, you know, I graduated. I did a couple shows with HBO and a couple movies here in Mexico. And finally, we were able to come to this. Well, Argos, the production company, was able to come to an agreement with Cadena Tres, which is the television station that we're working on, that we're working with now. Mm-hmm. And they gave us the opportunity and said, you know what, we need to make noise in this business, and we need to get rid of the monopoly. So how about you guys come and make noise with us, and we give you all the freedom that you need, and you can write about anything and everything that you want to write about and make television that you would want to see.
Amazing.
Which has always been very important for Argos, because we've always been known to make a lot of noise here in Mexico. There's actually the first telenovelas were Mirada de Mujer, Nada Personal, these huge soap operas here in Mexico that actually came out on Newsweek magazine and, mm-hmm. and Times magazine about, you know, breaking taboos and everything. And it was really cool because a lot of people say that was the independence of Mexican television, and Las Aparicio are the revolution. of television in Mexico.
Now, I was just, that's the word that I was thinking, revolution. Let's see if we can't make that noise just a little bit louder.
Exactly.
I think that's maybe part of the revolution we can start here. So did you know your co-star Liz before the show? Because the chemistry between the two of you is very believable as longtime friends.
Well, I mean, Liz Gallardo and I know each other. We knew each other from just auditions, and we've never worked together. We just always meet up, like, at auditions when she's leaving, I'm walking in, and, you know, waiting outside and stuff and talking. And I think we had coffee, like, 4 years ago. I mean, but we didn't even have, like, an actual relationship before anything started. And I had the possibility, of course, of knowing where the project was going and what I was going to be doing in the project, but I didn't know who my co-star was going to be, and so I was really nervous because I was hesitant about, you know, which actress would be generous enough to you know, let go and to do something like this, because I had no issues or conditions in my head about it because of the way I grew up, but I know that other Mexican actresses and other actresses in general could have been a lot more hesitant about, you know, the whole situation. So as soon as I heard it was, I think my dad was getting out of surgery, and of course he never stops working. So he immediately called as soon as the anesthesia, you know, finished. He immediately called his one of his associates, and he was like, "Hey, so who is it?" And they were like, "Oh, Liz Gallardo." And I swear, like, I was in the hospital room screaming and jumping up and down and saying, yes, thank you, God. Why? Because I'm a fan. I love her work. I think her movies are amazing. I think she's a very generous actress. And as you can see, I mean, I wasn't lying. She's amazing. And so it was really fun. The minute we saw each other, it was just like, dude, this is it, man. What we're going to do is important. So let's hold on and let's do it right. So
It's funny that you use the word generous, because I think of that a lot when I see the two performances together. It's very much a generosity, a friendship. So I quite enjoy the characters.
Oh, thank you. Well, we make a constant effort to... it's interesting. My dad at Big Menu Arra, he was the one that said when we first started, he got everybody together from Las Aparicio, and we were all sitting in the great dining room table of the house. Uh-huh. And he said, the only thing that we're going to ask everybody to do here is life and truth.
Ah.
So every time the writers write, you are going to write with life and truth. And don't be afraid, because everything is going to be deposited in a very careful package. So the writers, my sister's one of the writers. My sister's actually the writer with another girl called Tania Ángeles Begún. My sister's Natasha Ibarra. They're the writers of the story for Julia and Mariana, and my sister's gay.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been my role model my whole entire life. She's my older sister. And she's the one writing my character. And so a lot of my character is based on her and a lot of my friends, but basically on her, you know.
Right.
So that's a lot of fun, and so having her write without fear and mm-hmm. taking into consideration that we're doing, you know, life and truth, we put a lot on the line. I mean, I don't know if you've gotten to the storyline of my father.
No.
Well,
No. I thought you were talking about your actual father.
My father on the show.
No, I love that story. I like that redeeming quality that they're bringing forth with that character.
Well, what's amazing about that story, and it's something that not a lot of people know, is that that story is very close to the story with my father and myself.
Oh, lovely.
So my sister's writing it as if she's having conversations that she's never actually been able to have with my father, and my father's writing the answers. So it's really interesting because they're having some kind of, I mean, sometimes it's that, and other times it's, you know, it's the Leticia Lopez and all the other writers, you know, just taking down what they hear from my dad say in meetings and what my sister say in meetings and writing that into the scene. So when it comes to acting the scene, mm-hmm. it's scary to begin with because it's me mm-hmm. and my sister, but it's also Mariana and her father. So that gives me the possibility to explore a lot of emotions that I wouldn't really, you know, do if I didn't have like that closeness to the character. So and besides working with Damian Alcázar, who's an amazing actor.
Oh, I agree. Well, you mentioned your character, Mariana, is a lesbian, and That's true, but I don't believe that completely defines her, as it doesn't define any of us completely.
Exactly.
How would you add to that definition of the character of Mariana?
Well, I think, you know, what you said at the beginning, the modern day warriors, I think Mariana is an independent woman, and she's been able to, I don't think that her sexuality defines her as much as, you know, the fact that she's been a warrior from day one. You know, she grew up and her father left her when she was really young, and she continued to fight for everything that she believed in, not just her sexuality. And she always had this warrior quality to herself, even when she was little. Her dad tells her, you know, in the stories, he says, you were always just very, you always wanted to do something about everything, you know? And I think that's it. You know, she always wants to do something about everything, and she's a warrior, and she's strong, and she's opinionated. And it's funny because we've always tried to do something parallel to Rafael Aparicio, which is the matriarch of the family, Aparicio family, who's the woman who actually, you know, raised Mariana, because Mariana grew up at their house. So what we wanted to do is the way that Rafael Aparicio spits out things that she shouldn't say sometimes.
I love that part, though.
Yeah, I know. I love it, too. And what I love is that Mariana is very similar to that. She just spits out. We actually did a scene the other day, and I tell my dad, I'm like, oh, my God, I always get myself in a mess because I always open my mouth when I'm not supposed to.
Yes, but that's the honesty of the character. And I think that's a wonderful role model, not only to the community, but just women in general. This honesty, this drive. And quite frankly, truth and honesty are very powerful words. But so, you know, what was your reaction when you discovered that there's a lot of dedicated fans out there taking it on their own to subtitle the Mariana Julia storyline? This must be a testament to the quality of the work and the subject matter.
Well, I mean, to begin with, I mean, the first time I saw it, which was with, I think, what was it, the first episode? No, it wasn't even the first episode. It was the trailer for the Las Aparicio, like the full length trailer. And then all of a sudden we saw it with subtitles. And it was just like, are you serious? Like, is this really what's going to be happening? Is this where we're going? And then you see that the tiny little trailer of Mariana and Julia on YouTube is one of the most seen videos on YouTube in Mexico.
No,
so,
I agree. You know, a reader turned me on to it, and then I wrote a small piece in my blog as saying what you should be watching, and this is it. And the response was just phenomenal. I went online and looked, and so many people from all over Latin America, not only Latin America, but Europe as well, were reading the story and commenting. So I think it is a testament to not only the quality of the work, but also the subject matter, because there's just not a lot of good stuff out there with either gay themes or lesbian themes. You know, I laugh all the time. I say it's nice to see a story.
Or even empowered women. No?
Well,
it's like
absolutely.
Everybody in general, or you're either a tyrant or you're, you're walking that. Like people can walk all over you, and that seems okay. And I mean, I think in the United States there are other options, and there's a lot more that you can watch. And sometimes you can say like, oh, dude, that's a cool show, because I don't know. I think I saw an episode of The Good Wife, and I thought, whoa, that's a kick-ass woman.
Right, but
she's got balls.
I think
this is different. You know, I think this is different. This is like, these are ovaries, big time.
You know, I was just about to say that's one of my favorite expressions. It's like she's got a really huge pair of ovaries. So
yeah.
I think Mariana certainly does. You know, at this point in the storyline, your character is involved in a love triangle with her best friend Julia, of course, and her former lover, or well, recently not so former lover, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So as a fan, I love the drama that's resulting, because I think we all realize that something had to go there similar to this. But sometimes I have to admit, I want to slap Julia.
Oh, God, I know. But I think that's so interesting about Julia's character. And I think the fact that people are getting frustrated with her is perfect, because she's the most human out of all of them. Out of all that Aparicio woman, she's the one that always makes mistakes.
Yeah, true.
She's the one that reacts mostly like we do, like any other human being. And so that's really cool, because that's our frustration reflected on ourselves. Going like, damn it, freaking Julia, what is she thinking?
Exactly.
Like, but of course, everyone's like, dude, that's happened to me like a whole bunch of times. You know, I can be we all have mistakes. Not everyone's perfect. And sometimes a lot of Las Aparicio are very perfect, and Julia is not. Julia is the most human out of all of them. And she's also completely weird, because the fact that she would have the audacity to say, you know, I want to be with both of you.
Right. Because, now, extremely, she says she's just being honest. Now, do you believe that there is truly that much honesty in a relationship? Can that kind of honest relationship exist?
I think it should. I've never had a relationship that honest before.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope I have the opportunity to have an open relationship in that sense, that you can tell everybody everything you think and people understand. I actually had a scene the other day where I was talking to my dad, Hernan. Well, Mariana was talking to Hernan, and she says, I've always said that, you know, love transcends gender. I'm trying to be, I don't know how you say it in English, hold on, because I've been speaking in Spanish all day, so consecuente. I have to be, be congruente. Oh my God, what's the word? I have to be honest to and be in line with what I believe in and what I've always said that I believe in.
Oh, your principles.
My principles, exactly. I have to keep my principles clear and understand. And when it turns to, you know, making decisions, I have to act according to my principles, because that's what I've always preached.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't just preach and then not do what you preach, you know? So Mariana's having that issue right now. And it's very interesting, because she's always been the one that said, you know, love is free. And
exactly. She seems very conflicted. I just watched it. I guess it was one of the most recent episodes where she's saying, okay, to Julia, that it's fine, that we can have this threesome. And then she starts just beating her pillow, because it's really not who she is.
Yeah.
And that's not what she believes.
She starts beating up her pillow thinking it's the other guy. Yeah, I mean, we're going to see, in this week that's coming up, we're going to have a lot of angry fans, I think. But we're going to have a lot of interested fans, too, in the fact that people have to, we're not only exploring, you know, there's another thing that I said, I think that's the perfect way to explain this. We use the rainbow as a way to represent, you know, the alternative sexualities. And the rainbow has a lot of colors. And it doesn't, we don't have to wear only the color that we like. We have to wear the whole rainbow and be respectful about the whole rainbow. Julia is bisexual. She's not a lesbian. She's bisexual.
Right.
And that's a lot of conflict for a person coming out of the closet at this point in her life after what she's been through.
No, I agree with you.
So
I really agree.
So, and that's kind of what we're trying to have the fans understand and to hold on and to be interested, because this is a phase. Everything, love is a process. This getting into a relationship is a process, and it's 120 episodes. It's not a 13, 14 episode show, you know?
I say that all the time. I go, just hang on, just wait.
Hang on, patience, you know?
It's just barely half over.
Exactly. Right. When you cook in, you know, with a low fire or low temperature, everything tastes better. So just chill out. Everything's going to come. Things are probably going to be solved the way you think they might be solved, but we're not going to make you, you know, but it's not going to happen as you think it's going to happen.
Okay, so that low heat comment, I think that's my new bumper sticker.
Exactly.
I love that. That's very good. You know, speaking of taping our film, the shooting schedule of the show, I was watching and it mentioned there was some dialogue about Hurricane Alex, which had just pretty much come ashore in the last day before that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Do you tape ahead or very far ahead? You know, American soaps are so far ahead, what, 6 weeks at a time? It seems like your taping schedule is pretty short.
Well, we're about 2 weeks in some parts, about a week in some other parts. And what we do is that if something emergent, like something really important happens, like, I don't know, like Hurricane Alex or right now the Court of Justice, the Supreme Court of Justice in Mexico ruled that there's no reason for them to treat the murder practically of 42 children in the north of Mexico City that died in a fire. And so we want people to feel that we are with them in the same country and at the same time. If we take 6 weeks on and everything, then I mean that's fine. But how can you really understand what they're going through? And we want people to not go, oh, let's watch what happened on Las Aparicio. We want people to say, I wonder how Rafaela is. I wonder how Mariana is right now. And and look into their lives. And taking that in, we want to help a lot of people too. So, for example, Hurricane Alex, right now I'm getting ready to go to work, and after that I'm going to be at an event, and we're going to use, you know, part of the event into for the show, and then, you know, for to help people from that got, you know, their houses ruined and everything from Hurricane Alex. And we always try to keep things, because that's our idea, you know, we're lifting up a mirror to our society. And in order to do that with life and with truth, we need to do it immediately. So, yeah, I mean, it's insane. Like, we will go to sleep and find out that, you know, somebody got kidnapped, a really important politician got kidnapped. Next day, you will see it on Las Aparicio. Yeah, well, you know, Jefe Diego got kidnapped, blah, blah, blah. And that's important to us, because that's what keeps us in tune with our nation, you know?
Yeah, and it makes it more real.
Exactly.
to the viewers as well. So I for one appreciate that. In one scene of the show, Mariana is talking to her prodigal father, and he's trying to explain, you know, why he's been away, and like I said, I really enjoy that relationship between the two. I think it speaks to so many of us with our relationships with fathers and parents. But he said 80% of the most interesting people in history have been unadapted people. I like that. I really like
that
line.
I love that, yeah.
Yeah. Do you believe, and I'm assuming you do, as I do, that Las Aparicio is unadapted, that it's different and unconventional?
Absolutely. I think that's the same reason why we're being censored in so many parts of the country, and why people are trying to block, you know, everyone else from watching us. And that's why it's so important for us to have people like you that know that what we're trying to say is important. And yes, probably, you know, some people are, most of us are unadapted, even the actresses are. and I think that's important. We're rebels with a cause in some sense, you know?
Yeah, I do. You know, I also read that Las Aparicio, will be moving to Telemundo in August. Is that still a go?
Absolutely. We are, Adelos has some kind of, you know, thing with Telemundo, where Telemundo is the one that's in charge. Telemundo NBC is in charge of the sales of Las Aparicio. So, mm-hmm. Of course, seeing the show being such an amazing success in other parts of the world, they thought it was the best idea, because we have a lot of, you know, a lot of people that watch us in the United States. I don't know if it's going to be on Telemundo exactly. I think it might be, but around like 10 o'clock at night. But I know that they're going to be selling it on like MSNBC or something.
On Telemundo.com.
On Telemundo.com, but more like on NBC.com.
Okay.
And it's going to cost, like, I think it's $2 for the month or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not exactly sure, but I mean, as soon as we have that information, we'll have it, you know, get to you so that you can help us move it around.
Oh, please. Absolutely. I would love to do that. NBC is an American company. I mean, we all know that. And I've been very critical about American companies and their sponsors censoring much of, especially gay and lesbian content.
Yeah.
I mean, you can have as much sex and violence on TV, it seems, as you want, but two women in a relationship are oftentimes delegated to hand-holding and head-bumping and this kind of stuff, you know, and never a real intimate relationship portrayed. Is there any concern that once an American company gets their hands on this, that there will try to be some kind of censorship? Because I hope that's the last thing that would happen.
I don't think so, because I think we have things covered on the side of it's going to be an internet thing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we always have the liberty of speaking out easily on internet, you know? And I don't know. I don't know if they're going to pass it, like, on actual, like, on their channel, or if it's just going to be Telemundo. It always worries me what they can do with the show. I mean, we found out that maybe in Colombia they're going to be doing a remake of the show. And when we read the synopsis, we saw that it wasn't two women, it was two men. And, I mean, people are going to make changes. The original is going to be always there, and we're always going to try and keep... What we do is here in Mexico, in ArgosTV.com, which is Argos, the production companies, webpage, if you're in Mexico, you can see all the episodes without any censorship, no matter where they're censoring in other parts. So that's what we're going to try and keep doing, you know, moving it and keep it, you know, real, at least on internet, so that people that want to see the real thing can see it. And whether they change it or not, I mean, after the sale is done, it's pretty much out of our hands.
Right. Yeah, I understand that. Well, I hope that they keep it as close to the original as they can.
Hopefully, yeah.
You know, I saw Twitter, because I do follow you on Twitter. Sometimes I have to, you know, I put the Google Translate on, so I just copy and paste it on there. So I will be tweeting about our interview, so everyone will know to look for it.
Perfect.
I saw that you all participated as a cast in Pride Fest in Mexico. What was that your first Pride appearance? And what's it like going as a group to represent the show?
My first Pride appearance? That feels so weird. I've gone to Pride every year since I was like 13.
Yeah, I figured as much, but I wanted everyone.
I've gone to Pride absolutely every year. And every year, I've just gone and partied. And this year, it was the most insane thing that's ever happened to me in my whole entire life. I don't know what happened. It was just crazy. People were jumping everywhere and I mean, I signed, I want to share this with you because I think it's really important, and it's something that really shook me up. I signed the wedding, what is it called? The acta de matrimonio.
The marriage certificate?
I signed a marriage certificate of a really young couple of, you know, two guys that had just gotten married that had been together for, you know, since they were really young. And it was really exciting because, I mean, to me, that was a demonstration. That was the most important thing that I had. It was like the landmark in what we were trying to do. And when I told my dad, he almost cried. I mean, it was just like, are you serious? Yes, I'm serious. This really happened. And this means that we are doing a tiny part of what we set out to do in the beginning, you know?
Oh, exactly. That's a testament to what you're doing. And I don't know. I think it would be a great honor. That chokes me a little bit. You know, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, speaking of marriage, Argentina just legalized same-sex marriage.
Isn't that
awesome? Do you think the whole of Mexico will soon follow? Because, you know, I don't know if I'll ever see it in my lifetime here in the United States.
I mean, I would love to say that I'm not sure. I mean, we've had that issue. I mean, my sister uses it as an excuse. She always says, like, no, because it's not legal in Morelos. So I want to get married there, and that's why I'm not going to get married. You know? She's such a dork. But that's like her way of, you know, getting out of having to get married.
That's
and,
right.
And I mean, it's sad to think that it might not happen, but we have to. Mexico City is a really interesting city. It's a city where a lot of things happen, and you know, it's a left-wing, more democratic and open government right now. Mm-hmm. And things, you know, we have that possibility that works out, and that things are slowly starting to become, you know, better for the community in general. And now we're working on adoption. And I think, you know, at least having it here in the city where people can come and get married here in the city and have their rights respected here is a big move for Mexico, being such a big country and such a conservative country.
Right.
But, I mean, we're definitely not going to stop working for it, you know?
Yeah. Well, us here either. So, you know, you fight until there's nothing to fight for anymore. And unfortunately, I think that's a long way off.
Exactly.
But there are small battles that you win along the way, though. And I think that's gratifying. I mean, we'll eventually get to the end of the war, I believe. But, you know, the battles are where the gratification comes right now.
Exactly.
So you said that your sister writes, and I'd read that your sister writes, especially part of the Mariana Julia story. Do you ever improvise any kind of sibling rivalry into that? Like, okay, she's not watching, I'm going to say this.
You know, what I do is I think it's even worse. I grab parts of her personality or things that she said to me, and I act them out. And I'm just like, okay, so Mariana's going to be this way, this way, this way, and she's scared of butterflies. And so I'll like put it into a scene. I'm like, or she hates tickle, like getting, she's very ticklish and she hates just people trying to tickle her. And so we did a scene where Julia's tickling me and we're supposed to just laugh, and that's all it said. And all of a sudden I just started screaming, no, it's torture, you're killing me, like my sister would scream. And when she watched it, she called me, she's like, dude, I hate you. you suck. You're not allowed to steal things from my personality. For and I was like, hey, that's your problem. That's what you get.
Exactly. Well, that's part of all being my sister. Yeah.
Exactly. We have a lot of fun. I mean, it's also wonderful because we have the opportunity of sitting down together and saying, where are we going with this? And me saying, okay, I live the set, so I know where the director's trying to take me. I want you to know so that when you write, you know where the director's taking me, where I'm taking Mariana, where you're taking Mariana, and have it meet in the middle.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it's great that you have such a wonderful relationship. And, you know, speaking of family and genes and chromosomes, you said that, you know, acting was in your life, and you couldn't think of anything else that you would have been, you know, growing up in the family that you did. But if you had to choose another profession, what would it be?
I'd probably be like a psychologist or something. But I would really love, because I'm actually thinking about going back to school a little. I immediately went into acting, and I love it, and I can't think about doing anything else. But I have a lot of free time sometimes. And I always think about, you know, psychology being something really interesting that I would have loved to explore. It's very similar to what I do, in a sense, and to what all actors do. We analyze, and the difference is that we actually try and live in everyone else's shoes, and this would be another way of probably helping my acting career more, because it would help me do my construction of my characters and everything differently. But it would also be something that I would love to do on the side, I don't know, and help young girls out that have, I don't know, self-injury or that have problems at home and stuff.
Mm. Oh, that's nice. Well, there's a wealth of character profiles there, too, so I think exactly. That would be a benefit. Okay, you're always in the kitchen a lot in the show, you know, Mariana. Do you really know how to cook? And if so, what's your favorite dish to make?
Oh, my God. Okay, the truth is here. I do know how to cook. I don't cook as good as my mother does, definitely. I've never taken a class, and I think my favorite dish is, like, chili. I love making chili. Chili with, like, rice in it and cheese and nice cherry chili. that's favorite dish to cook. But my favorite dish to eat, I think it's pad thai. And I wish I could cook Thai food. That would be awesome.
That's mine. I have that probably 3 times a week.
Oh, my gosh. I wish I could, but here in Mexico, it's hard to find a good pad thai.
True, I bet. You know, I was reading your bio, you know, researching for the interview, and it says you have several sporting skills, athletic skills that you mentioned there. What sport's your favorite?
My favorite sport is volleyball. I played it all through junior high and part of, well, not in high school, but in elementary school and junior high. I love volleyball, and I know, don't hate me, but I'm a cheerleader. I love cheerleading. since I'm a dancer and I love dancing, and I was a cheerleader and for I think pretty much my whole life since I was 9 years old. So it's something that I consider it a sport because it's really intense, and I love watching the competitions and stuff. But definitely volleyball is the main one, and then cheerleading.
Yeah, well, did you have a passionate favorite in the World Cup at all, you know, Mexico notwithstanding?
I mean, I love the Italians, but because I just love watching them play.
I think they're beautiful.
They're so beautiful, and I love when they get pissed off because they're just like really into it, and they're so passionate about everything. But I really wanted them to go a lot further than they were, mostly because they were the champions, you know. But and Cannavaro is probably, that's going to be his last one. So, but I think my favorite was Spain, and Spain won. So I pretty much jumped up and down. My fiance was really upset with me because he was for Germany the whole time. But I love Spain, and I really don't follow soccer. It's not my favorite thing in the world. But I mean, I was pushing for Spain from the beginning because I think they deserve it.
Yeah, you know, I don't follow very much, but I do get involved in these international competitions. I think it's the shoes and the uniforms more for me.
The pink shoes that they were wearing.
Right, it's like, he has on pink shoes. It takes someone very confident in their sexuality to wear pink shoes.
Exactly. You know, I'm really good friends with the ex-captain of the Mexican, the Mexican Women's Soccer League. Mm-hmm. Her name is Monica Gonzalez. She's actually from Texas. and she was the captain here for 4 or 5 years, and she'd come over and watch the games, and she'd be making all these like really intense she'd investigate and be like, no, what's wrong is their defense and their offense is doing this and that. And I was just like, their shoes are awesome.
Yeah. See, that's me. That's very
shoes.
Me. It's like, you know, those stripes don't go with those solid pants.
That Bafana guy has a really nice, you know, but dude, how do they get those legs? And right now we're actually watching my fiance's just put on the Colombia Germany Women's World Cup, which is really interesting. I think it's important for people to follow that one too, even though you can see the difference in the production is amazing.
Exactly. Exactly. I do too. Well, you know, I know you're busy and you probably have more taping to do. But before we wrap up, I want to ask you, are there any projects that you have in the works right now that you would like for us to tell the world about, so to speak?
Well, I mean, I have a project that I wrote with my sister that's going to be an internet only series. It's a really interesting project. It's called Miércoles, which is Wednesday. It's going to be subtitled in a lot of different languages. And it's about six friends that always get together on Wednesdays at 8 o'clock at night, and what happens within their circle of friends. And it's gonna be really interesting. And we wrote it about 4 years ago. And having Mariana as a vehicle to write more about, you know, about sexuality to begin with, mm-hmm. it's really helped us to move the project and finally start getting the financing that we need for it, you know. So it's opened the door or at least the window for that show to be able to come to life very soon. And there we're going to be completely honest, and we're working internet, and it's going to be our own website, which can be watched in different parts of the world. And so we're going to keep it real as we've tried to, you know.
Well, please let us know when we can see it and when the website will be up, and, you know, all the information so that not only I and my readers can watch, but we can, you know, disseminate this information out to everyone.
Perfect.
So it's very important.
Thank you so much. That's awesome. And thank you for your support. And it's really important to us, and we honestly appreciate it. Every day we go to work, it's something that keeps us going. And I'm not saying it just because I'm saying it. Believe me, it's been a difficult journey, and having people like you and different blogs supporting us has really helped us to keep going every day, and to know that what we're doing is what we're supposed to be doing, no matter where we get vetoed or, you know, where we need to go to another country to find work.
Exactly. Well, you know, like I said before, I write in my blog what I think people should be watching. And definitely Los Aparicio is one of those. And I commend you and your father and your sister for this beautiful piece of work and the message that it conveys to the world. So thank you so much. And please tell your father thank you for bringing this to us. And we look forward to the rest of the season.
Thank you, and we can't wait for you guys to watch it and see what you think, and hopefully next week nobody will shoot us.
No.
God, what are you guys doing?
No, bring on the drama, I say.
There we
now
go.
You can't, it's not a fairy tale, it's a drama.
Exactly.
So
remind the readers it's a drama, and
that's
it's
right.
120 episodes, it's not 13. So
no,
we have to get to it.
There is a great amount of anticipation, so I can't wait to see what is next for us. So, again, thank you so much, and I hope to be talking to you soon about what the rest of the season has in store for us.
Perfect. Well, I'm here for you guys. Anytime you guys want to call me, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Erin. I certainly will.
Okay. Take care. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that's it for this edition of the Schmutz On Podcast. Thank you, Erin, and can I just say, bring on that drama. I have provided on this pod landing page links to where you can watch Los Aparicio and the YouTube channels of those devoted fans who are providing the English subtitles for the Julia and Mariana storyline. Until August, and then there's always Telemundo.com. Stay tuned for my upcoming interviews with the other lovely ladies of Los Aparicio. Oh, these steal my heart. Now, Gerald, get me out of here. I gotta look up class schedules for conversational Spanish. Adios, amigos. That is how you say it, right?